All right, man. You all made it through Thanksgiving. We are here to worship the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we're in the book of Hebrews. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm in this series called Offer Up. Thanksgiving is over, and now we have to look forward to Christmas. Yeah. But I'm still going to hold on to the Thanksgiving theme, all right? Because you know my favorite part of Thanksgiving is the leftovers. I like them turkey sandwiches. And so today we got a little leftover meal. I'm going to still highlight some Thanksgiving themes. I want to read Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, and then I'm going to pray. I love these verses. Hebrews 13, verse 15. It's the Bible tells us that we should continually come and offer the sacrifice of praise to God, which he said is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. He said, do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let's pray. All right, Father, we just thank you this morning that we can be in your house. And I thank you, Lord, that your presence is with us. Your word is with us to guide us and lead us. And I pray, Lord, that in this season of holidays, we would all be able to glorify you, bless you, give you the honor and the praise that you deserve. We just love you so much. We thank you this morning for the beauty of the Bible. I pray that in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. So I was just sharing with you here at the transition, man. I was saddened at the news of my friend Jim Horton's passing this week. And I have to tell you, it made me think about my own father's death. Because I remember that we went to church the next day. So my dad had passed away, and we were end up in church service. It was a surreal moment. And I remember when they announced that happened, and I felt consoled, and people were so gracious to me. And that was, you know, a wonderful thing. I've never forgot. But the thing that I remember the most was the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Like, God's presence was there, and I just felt an incredible grace that was with us that time. I remember later that day, my family and I, we sat around the fireplace, and we just worshiped the Lord. We as a family offered up a sacrifice of praise, which I think is one of the most beautiful verses of the Bible here. It says that we should continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of our lips when we give thanks to his name. So what giving is an expression of your gratitude. Giving is how we make known thoughts and feelings. You know, and if you look at the Bible, if you study it, it almost always in the New Testament is quoting something from the Old Testament. So here it's quoting a passage from Leviticus 7 and verse 12 when they offered up cakes of unleavened bread. When I feel gratitude, this is when I move to bless the Lord and I give thanks to his name. And that sensation has come to me at pivotal moments in life. Like I was telling you about my father's death, in that moment, I couldn't help but just express my gratitude and appreciation to the Lord. And sometimes that's not the easiest thing. You know, when I'm angry, when I get frustrated with people, when I get upset about things, when I'm in pain, somehow, despite the difficulty, if I can just bless the Lord and offer up a sacrifice of praise, he meets me in that moment. And that is one of the most amazing things about God. You know, in moments of gratitude like that, sometimes you might even feel moved to give financially. I had a grandma like this who taught me that. She would always support so many ministries. You know, you go to her home and she had countless stacks and letters of ministries that come in. She'd say, they need my help. And she felt so blessed to be able to give to those things because that was what she was doing. She was expressing our attitude. So I want to just talk this morning to you about the function of giving. You know, last week I highlighted the function of gratitude. When I hear the word Thanksgiving, the first thing I think of is the first part of the verse, the first part of the word, thanksgiving. I think about thanks. And there's two parts to this word. There's thanks and there's giving. And when I was praying about this, I just felt like the Lord was emphasizing to me the last part of the word in thanksgiving. He was emphasizing giving. You know, gratitude and giving go hand in hand. They're inseparable. It's like they belong to each other. So I want to walk you through some functions of giving, and the first thing that I want to highlight here is in the 16th verse when the scripture says this, we should not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. First thing I would like to highlight for you is that sacrificial giving pleases God. It pleases him. God delights in our giving. When we do good and share, it demonstrates that we're grateful to the Lord. I was reading about Nehemiah. He was, you know, he lived sort of in difficult days. You know, he was rebuilding the city walls around Jerusalem. And Nehemiah 10 and verse 35, he said something interesting. He said that they were obligated to bring the first fruits from the field and the first fruits from the fruit trees to the house of the Lord. And he reminded the people that they were giving sacrificially as an expression of their gratitude towards God. So there are certain things in life that please the Lord, like faith. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. And when you're faithful and committed and consistent, it pleases the Lord. When you're obedient, obedience pleases God. There's a reason why in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he talked about those who died in the wilderness because they were not faithful and their disobedience was displeasing to God. And sacrificial giving, when you give to the Lord, it's one of those things that pleases God. Because what it means is that you have not forgotten the Lord. I think about the verse here. He said, don't forget to do good and share. When you are like that one leper who got healed and came back to Jesus to give thanks and show gratitude, it pleases God. I mean, when's the last time you just stopped to thank God for all he's done in your life? I hope you did it on Thanksgiving. You know, I had a moment to sit around with the family and talk about things and just pray over them, and it blessed me. I think about how, you know, he's been so good in my life. Maybe he's delivered you, he's healed you, he's set you free, he's blessed you, he's brought relationships into your life. And moments like that, it is crucial in your life for you to take a moment and stop and just reflect upon his goodness in your life. You know, sacrificial giving is more than just money. I mean, money's a part of it, but that 15th verse speaks of this sacrifice of praise, which is one of the richest things that you can do in your walk with God. Because it's a sacrifice that happens a lot of times when you don't feel like offering it up to the Lord. You ever have moments like that? You just don't feel so good about something, and yet you know God has blessed you? I know how it happens to me. It's because I'm on my third remodel in a house right now. It was a good idea to buy the house. But when you get, you know, about a year and a half into tearing apart a basement and you're trying to figure stuff out, you can kind of start thinking, oh boy, I don't know if I can handle this. I might have bit off more than I could chew. And then you make a mistake and you hit your thumb with a hammer swinging something and you're tempted not to be grateful. And I've had moments like that where I've had to stop in the middle of stress and being overwhelmed and frustrated. And that's where I just offer up a sacrifice of praise in alone moments to God. I'm telling you, it's a big deal to God. When you can give him praise in a place of difficulty and pain, some of the greatest worship experiences I have ever had have come when I've had the most pain. That's what I was sharing you about this morning. I mean, sometimes it's like, like when I was in Uganda earlier this year, I was in a very uncomfortable position, but I found myself on my knees before the Lord's offering up a sacrifice of praise with people who couldn't sing and sound systems that were blowing my ears out in a mud hut that smelled so bad, but I was grateful to be in the house of the Lord with him. Yeah, I'll never forget that time worshiping with him. Sacrificial giving means that God is your number one priority. It means he's got first place in your life. That's what tithing really is. It's, I am putting God first, and I believe that he is going to bless the rest. You know, so many people put different things ahead of God in their life. It's always interesting to me. The things that people put ahead of God, their priorities in life. Like, sometimes they like to get themselves nice, shiny cars. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a shiny car. But, you know, the average car payment in America today is $700. That's the average one. Which, to some people, that's like the mortgage they used to have, right? I mean, it's incredible where people have priorities, vacations. You know, I know people who take trips that they simply can't afford. Or, you know, time. Time might be your most valuable asset of all, and yet in the society today, it's like, man, you got people who can't make any time commitments for church, or, you know, they're not really having devotions or spending time with God. It's like, it's on the back burner of things, and that is a sacrifice that we all should offer up to the Lord. Our time, our money, our giving in life. When I give sacrificially, what I'm doing is I'm offering to God my very best. I'm saying, God, I'm going to put this in your hands, and I'm trusting that you will take care of the rest. I'm trusting you with the outcome. I'm trusting you to provide. And so when you offer up a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice financially, when you do that, it pleases and blesses the Lord. Now, let me give you a second one. I want you to flip over with me the book of Philippians chapter 4. You know, I love the book of Philippians. That might be one of my favorite books of the Bible. And the theme of that book is all about rejoicing. I mean, he said that over and over and over in that book. Rejoice, he said. And again, I say rejoice. And I want to remind you, he wrote the book while he was in chains. So here in Philippians chapter 4, I want you to look at the 18th verse. This is what Paul wrote. He said, indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full because, he said, I received from Epaphroditus the offering that was sent from you, an offering which he called a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that he said was well-pleasing to God. Here's the thing I've discovered about giving. Giving works contentment in your heart. It pleases God when you and I can live with contentment. When, as Paul said, we have all and abound. And he wrote this in chains, and he said, I'm a full man. Now, contentment, if you just define it in the modern term, is happiness, satisfaction. It's your ability to accept situations in life. And for a lot of people today, contentment is elusive. And I have to tell you, this is like a personal struggle for me. I'm someone who sometimes has a difficult time being satisfied. You know, I've had to take a deep dive in my emotions and ask myself, why is it sometimes I struggle with this? Why has this been such a challenge for me? I think it goes back to childhood issues. I think perhaps I might have been spoiled as a boy, and I kind of feel like I want more. I'm not satisfied. I really have to work for those things. So it is something that has to be strived for. And I like what Paul wrote about it, because apparently Paul, he was like-minded in many ways. If you jump back up to the 11th verse, look at what Paul wrote. He said, I have learned in whatever state I'm in, if he's in Michigan or if he's in Montana, anywhere but Wyoming, I guess, if I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, everywhere in all things, look what he said again, I have learned both to be full and hungry, both to abound and suffer need. So here you got the militant apostle Paul, and he's got an extraordinary outlook. We could almost say it was a stoic outlook. And this guy was content with where he was. Now, if you look at verse 11 and verse 12, what you'll notice is he said, I have learned it twice. I've learned. I've had to learn. I have had to learn it. Over and over, he's learning how to be content. He learned that in prison, which means that contentment is not dependent upon how much money that you have in the bank. Contentment is not dependent upon how good the circumstances and the quality of life is, and if you're in, you know, the beach somewhere. Contentment is a state of mind. Contentment is how you handle situations that are thrown at you. You know, I was over here at Canyon Creek School having the Thanksgiving Day lunch with my children, which was a ton of fun. I had a great time. I sat around the table listening to kids as they ate turkey. And right behind me, one of my friends was there. And I hadn't seen him for a while. We started talking. I remembered he worked at Stillwater Mine. He got laid off, just like some of my friends have. Just here, I'd be here before Thanksgiving. I said, Marty, I was like, you know, how are you hanging up, you know, with the mine closing? And he said to me something so interesting. He was like, you know, I had started a business before. I was doing construction. And so he said, I've already positioned myself. This just gave me the opportunity to expand the business. And he said, to be honest with you, I see it like a blessing. Because I was in a work environment that was difficult for me. And you know, you're hearing all kinds of negativity and frustrations and people's problems. And so he said, now, you know, I'm able to just kind of go to work, be a blessing, and the environment's so different. I feel like I can be a better dad. I feel like I can grow closer to the Lord. So he used that as, you know, an opportunity for blessing. That spoke to me so much. That's called contentment. In the face of difficulty, he was content with what God has given him. Contentment, the scripture says it so beautifully in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, contentment apparently contributes to your financial well-being and state. Contentment is what helps you manage money. Contentment is what helps you discover what your priorities are about money. Because if you have money but are not content, there's some advice for you that Jesus had when he gave to the rich young ruler. He said, take what you have and sell it and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Apparently, that was Jesus' way of handling malcontent people. I found out that a godly lifestyle is more valuable than riches. You know, riches, the scripture saying Proverbs, make wings and can fly away. They leave a lot easier than they come. And I've lived with rich people who are not very happy. Trust me, I've been with some people who may have had some means, but that doesn't mean that they were happy and satisfied and easy to live with. And there's something beautiful and sacred about contentment. In my quest to study about contentment, because I have a resolution, I'm working at being a more content, satisfied person, I've discovered that the root cause of contentment, it's rooted in gratitude. Because the more grateful you are, the happier you'll be. If your needs are met, you will be a grateful person. But if you can meet the needs of other people, you'll even be happier. That's what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And there's something sweet and wonderful about being able to be a blessing. It provides you a deep sense of satisfaction. You know, I think about like moments in life when we've been able to bless people. And I always go back to the story of, you know, this a couple years ago, we had a couple from Bulgaria with broken English who showed up at the church and they needed a car fixed full of gas. They had kids, they had no money, and they had no place to stay. They were trying to get back to California for immigration. We took care of all that for them. And it was the most wonderful sense of like, man, I got to be a blessing for people who really needed it. And I've often prayed, I said, Lord, bring moments like that around again. Because I'm looking for opportunities you can really help someone be a blessing. It is a wonderful thing to be able to help someone in that situation. Contentment. Paul was content even when he was in prison. He knew that that Philippian church would give sacrificially to help people out. And that's one thing I love about this church, man. We got some people who are givers and generous. And I know that if there's an offering taken up, people will contribute. And that is a wonderful blessing to be in a spot where you can help people. Man, what a blessing is that? Now, let me give you another function here, my last function, third function, and I want to jump down to the 19th verse, Philippians 4:19. You know, Philippians has got some of the greatest verses of the Bible. Probably you know this one by heart. I know people who have this verse tattooed on their bodies. It says in verse 19, and my God shall supply all, someone say all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you probably know this, but it's worth repeating. Giving is the way that God provides in your life. It's the way he makes provision. And this verse defines itself. He supplied all their needs. That's what provision is. Provision is when your needs are provided for. And that's what Paul is doing. He's encouraging the Philippian church to give. Give, Jesus said, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men put in your bosom. In the same measure that you sow, it'll come back to you. And that's what Paul said in Galatians. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Man, when I think about, you know, Paul and what he did right here, he's taking an offering. And he knows if they gave that offering, they're going to get back a harvest on that. He knew that God would provide the needs that he had. See, we have a covenant with God. And provision comes to us through the blood of Jesus that was shed in that covenant. I mean, think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. God knew in order to receive a family, he'd have to sow a son. He'd have to give in order to get. That's the way the kingdom of heaven works. So, you know, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 8 that when Jesus died on the cross, he became poor so that you and I might become rich. There was a divine exchange that took place. Jesus gave up everything that he had. He died naked on that cross, owning nothing. He gave his very life's blood. He died impoverished so that you and I could be prosperous. That's quite a thought. You know, they recently released a study. This was going around the news. They said humans today have reached the highest net worth in wealth than at any other time in history. They're richer today than any other time. The world's richest man ever is a man named Elon Musk. He's worth $300 billion. What would you do with $300 billion? I don't know, but I know one thing. You couldn't spend it all. That would be hard to spend that much money. And so we're living in this a prosperous time. When I think about the verse here, this verse, 19th verse, it's a mysterious, amazing verse. It speaks about his riches in glory. You know, everyone's running after riches, aren't they? I mean, people strive for it. They go after it. They're trying to get what they can what they get. Gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. That's the way the world works today. Everyone's after things. But I found some riches that are unsearchable. They never perish, they never diminish, and you can never get tired of them. I think about what the Bible speaks of in Romans chapter 2 and 4, verse 4, about the riches of his goodness. You know, the goodness of God, the Bible says, is what leads us to repentance. And you know, God's goodness has corrected me on so many occasions. I mean, it's woken me up in the middle of the night to warn me. God's goodness has spoken to me through the voice of my wife telling me to shut up. That's goodness right there. I'm like, you know, I think I'll act on that. That's the goodness of the Lord trying to help you. Yeah. What about the riches of his mercy? That's Ephesians chapter 1. The fact that he forgave you of all your sin. How priceless is a cleansed conscience. I mean, we know when you get the relief of being forgiven because of the blood of Jesus, the joy and the peace you experience is palpable. You can feel it. It's his goodness, his mercy, and it satisfies something that money cannot. That's riches. I think about the riches of health. You know how he heals all your diseases. You know, I think about my mom had an aneurysm, and here she is. She's alive and well today. And man, I think about that. You know, my friend Jean Erickson, I see her in the back row. She's been struggling with something, but the Lord has sustained her. And I'm praying all the time for healing in your life because that's what God does. He's a healer. He keeps people around who pray long enough to pray to see the things that they prayed for come to pass. Isn't that right? Yeah, the riches of health. The riches of the Holy Spirit. That's Titus chapter 3. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's been poured out abundantly. Jesus said it's been given to us freely. It's a free gift. And that Holy Spirit, man, he is so good. He's a counselor. He's the friend that sticks closer than you, brother. He's a guide when you need it. And the Bible says that he is the ever-present help in time of trouble. When you need him the most, the Holy Spirit is there. And that's his riches, man. That's his goodness in your life. Or what about the riches of Scripture? Colossians chapter 3. The word of the Lord, the Bible says, his word can dwell in your heart richly. It can dwell there with abundance. There's a word there when you need it. And I love it. When the Holy Spirit whispers a verse to my mind, to my memory, something gets stirred up on the inside of me. I get some wisdom. It gives me resolve. It strengthens me. And it's like a light in a dark place. One word from the Lord will get you through dry seasons and drought and famine. And if you get the word of God in your heart, your life will take on a whole new course of direction. 1 Timothy 6 says, God has given us all things richly to enjoy. All things. It means you can find his goodness in everything. One place I find his goodness is the riches of my friendships, my relationships. Friendships are the most fabulous riches that you have. And I'm blessed to have like long-term relationships and friends in my life that I've had for years and years and years. I'm so appreciative for that. And I'm appreciative for new friends that I come across. Yeah, I was giving my nephew Leif a hug this morning because we got to travel this year to Africa together. And it's like I got a whole new level of friendship with him. And I love seeing my son and his cousins grow. And I love seeing them become men. And it's just something about that blesses my life so much. The riches of friends. You know, I think about the fact that God's provision in your life, it's through his covenant. But it's a supernatural covenant. He's able to provide for you in a supernatural way. You know, our self-sufficiency can only go so far. You can only do so much because you have natural limitations in this world. You can't do everything. But God is able to make a way to provide for you. And when he does it supernaturally in ways that exceed your imagination and expectation. I had to laugh, man. I was just, you know, thinking about how these things happen in life for people. And I got a text message from a woman. She was telling me about, you know, she wanted to cook a turkey for Thanksgiving, but she had a wall oven. And the oven went out. Now, a wall oven, I looked at it, it's a little different than a regular oven. They're a little more expensive. They fit in certain places. And so she needed a couple thousand dollars to pay for that thing. And she didn't have a couple thousand dollars. But she went looking and trying to price them out and shopping and figure out. She got over to Home Depot and they were out of them. But then the manager was like, well, we do got one in the back that someone returned. I guess we could sell it to you for 75% off. Come on, somebody. That's a win. And you know what? That's just how God does it. He exceeds your expectations. He provides for you in moments when you don't know it's coming. He just has an ability to do that. That's the nature of our God. He's exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. He provides supernaturally. So he's got this provision. It's in the covenant. And the way that he provides for us is when we give to him. I plant that seed in the soil, it'll grow. I put God first, he blesses the rest. I give with joy and gratitude because you know what? I know that God loves a cheerful giver. And there's something wonderful about being a giver because it just demonstrates I'm a grateful person. You know who was a cheerful giver? My friend Jim Horton. He was a cheerful giver. You know, that dude on more than one occasion would sneak back into my office and he would leave, you know, a little cash or he'd have a check and it was for missions work. It was for the ministry. It was for the tuition for people, you know, to go to school or things. I mean, little things that tugged at his heart. And I watched him. He always wanted to be a blessing. He sowed into many things. And that's a man who's got treasure stored up for him in heaven. Treasures in it where moth and rust cannot destroy them. So let me ask you this morning. Are you a grateful person? Man, I asked that question and I ask it for myself because I said I've had to work at it. I've had to fight off attitudes of discontentment. I've had to fight off attitudes that steal that from me. You know, they said that a lot of times the reason that people today are not grateful is because we live in a society where things happen for people so quickly, a microwave generation. And they said that technology is adding to people's own sense of self-sufficiency. And so when things happen quickly, you don't have to work for them, they're easy at your fingertips. It steals away from your sense of contentment. And so, you know, what I've tried to do is practice gratitude. That's one reason I write thank you cards. If someone does something nice, I try to find a way to express it in writing, appreciate it. There's something about that that's very sacred to me, something that's important. I try to practice it. Are you a grateful person this morning? Let's talk about what grateful people do. How can you tell if you're grateful? If you're grateful, you have no problem offering up praise. Now, I told you, sometimes I get rolling in the basement. I'm working on my house and start complaining about how difficult it can be and the challenges that are there. And so if I have negative things come out of my mouth, I have to stop and I have to be intentional alone with God and just start praising the Lord out loud and with my mouth. Out loud and with my mouth. And that's how I express gratitude. And you know, if you do that, if you practice that, I'll tell you what'll happen. It'll start coming out quietly and slowly, but it starts growing and getting louder and louder and louder. And some of the best people to hang out with, some of the best people to walk with are people who have no problem just praising the Lord. I love being in worship services next to loud people who just stick their hands up and they don't care. And they're just loving on the Lord. Man, there's something wonderful and precious about that. That's evidence of someone who knows they've been forgiven or grateful with the Lord. So a grateful person has no problem expressing their praise. It's a sacrifice that's given freely, and you can always spot grateful people because they're willing to praise the Lord. If you're grateful, you also don't have a problem offering up your finances. You know, I was thinking about, you know, when December hits, and I always start thinking about the year in review. Man, I think about what the last year brought. And, you know, so I was going this year, we traveled to Africa, which was just an incredible thing to minister to 1,000 pastors and leaders there. It was just such an amazing experience. So I was thinking back in 2023, I got the same thing going to Pakistan. I mean, that was an incredible experience. And we'd saved up a lot of money to go to Pakistan. I mean, we'd saved up for several years to be able to do that, to bless my friend Chris. So he'll be here in April, by the way. And he's traveling around doing amazing things like that in nations of the world like that. And we'd save for it. And I told Chris, I was like, you know, I want to sow this money into you for souls because I know God, there's a fruitful field there in Pakistan. But I was like, I got a piece of property over here, which is just an eyesore to people. And I said, I could use that money and get that thing developed. But instead, I want to give it to the Lord. I want to sow something. He reached across the table, grabbed my hand, and he said, oh, but God will bless you for it. And that blessed me so much because, you know, this year, one of my highlights was able to get that eyesore taken care of. I was so grateful, man. I look out there and I've had so many of the neighbors come by and say, man, I love what you've done with the property. I mean, but the reason that happened so well in my mind is because we sowed into it and watched how God took care of it. If you put him first, if you give him a sacrifice, he will bless the rest and take care of things. Grateful people know how to be content with little or with much. It's like the things of this world don't move them. They're not concerned and consumed by it. They're not always trying to show off the name, you know, tag equipment that they have. It doesn't affect them. Whether it's name brand or whether it's a knockoff product, it's not something that bothers them. There's something about contentment that honors and pleases God, and a grateful person is a person who's content. And grateful people love to help someone who's in need. Isn't that right? That warm, fuzzy feeling you get on the inside when you get to be a blessing to somebody else. Man, that is a wonderful thing, and that is a demonstration of my gratitude. All you have to do is open up your eyes, and you will see someone in need. And if your eyes are open and your heart is right, it's easy to find ways to meet needs. It doesn't have to be money. It can be in the simplest thing. It can be encouragement, words of affirmation. It can be some groceries. It can be simple things that you do that bless people, and it's an extraordinary thing. And I don't know, I just want to pray for the spirit of gratitude and generosity to just fall upon our church. Yeah, I would like to grow in gratitude. Anyone else want to grow in gratitude? Yeah, there's a grace that comes with giving. There's something beautiful and sacred with it. I want to pray that. Father, I just thank you this morning. I thank you for open hearts and open minds. I thank you, Lord, for increasing our capacity to give. I thank you for increasing our capacity to receive from you with gratitude. And Lord, I just thank you that we can be grateful. I thank you that we can just praise the Lord. Yeah, let's do that. Just take a moment right here. Just lift up your hand. Give up a sacrifice of praise. Let's just practice that. Say, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for working in my heart. Thank you for the marriage that you gave me. Thank you for the home that you put me in. Thank you for the job that I have. Thank you for the career. Father, I thank you for the children I have. I thank you, Lord, for the friends that I have. I thank you for your goodness in my life. I thank you for meeting all my needs and providing for me. And I thank you for correcting me and leading me and teaching me and helping me learn and grow as a person. I just thank you for your hand upon my life. I thank you, God, that you're so good. You meet me in incredible moments. Father, I just thank you. I thank you. Man, I just feel the goodness of the Lord welling up on the inside of me. I feel a generosity here in my heart. I want to do something. You know, I was in the hospital. I went up there to visit my friend Jean Erickson. I think I've known Jean for, oh man, probably since that. She's known me longer than I've known her because she knew me when I was little. So, you know, she and Jim have blessed me in so many ways. Oh, they bless me. I mean, they're always giving to people, so generous. He's like one of those people who, you know, they got the house paid off when they're young, so they could give to the Lord. That's what they've done with their money. They've just given it to the Lord. I've watched them. And, you know, they had a need that came up. She was telling me she's worried about some hospital bills. I would like to take a little offering for this woman and her family because they give to everybody. So, you know, I just feel like I feel led to do that. She was wondering. She was like, man, this is going to be a little stressful. So, Gene's back over here. Jim and Gene are over there. They're dear friends of mine. And if the Lord puts it on your heart, they could use a little help for some hospital bills. I just want to bless. I feel the Lord. I feel like he's going to meet their needs. So it's Thanksgiving. $5, $10, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. If you have little, if you have much, it could go a long way. It could meet their needs. And if you would, I'd like you to just, you know, bless them today. I don't think we have her come down here, but we'll pray over that offering. And you could mark it. If you want to write a check, you can just mark Jim and Gene Erickson on the check, or you can give cash to them. If you want to put it online, you just mark on there that it's for them. But I want to bless them for that. That's funny, man. You know, when you talk about something, you feel God moving on you supernaturally, it's like a heat that comes upon you. And I feel like that the Lord is going to use this congregation to be givers to people. And you know, when you give to people, I'll tell you what God will do. He will bless you back 30, 60, 100-fold. It'll come back into your life in extraordinary ways. I feel like the Lord is really going to bless our congregation. He's paid off a building here, and we give to missions. And I just am excited to see where else that takes us, because God is, he wants to do so many great things in our city, in our community, and it comes when people are generous to his work. Amen? Amen. One final thing here before we go. Moments like, you know, Jim's untimely death, they remind me that heaven's for real. And they remind me that heaven is our eternal home. But it's a home for the righteous. You got to make a choice. And I know people who have not chosen to live righteously. And I know people who have. And I know Jim did choose to live righteously. I watched him. And it makes me think about the serious nature of your life and where you end up in eternity and the way you want to live. Because you don't know on your way home, you might be killed driving home. Tomorrow isn't promised to anybody. It's a frail life we have, and it goes fast. I'm looking at some people with white hair in this room, and they're nodding. It goes fast. Don't laugh. I got white hair coming for me, too. I look in the mirror. I think, oh, no, it's coming for me. Yeah, but I want to make sure you're right with the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Yeah, if you can't say that you're right with him, you've drifted away, or you're not making the right choices, you're not living righteously, I want to give you a chance to get right with the Lord. This is a moment to do that. A moment to get right with God. Yeah. Heads bowed, eyes closed. All right. Well, I want you to just pray this with me. Say, Father, I thank you for forgiving me of my sin. And I pray that you help guide me and lead me in the right direction. Correct me when necessary. Your goodness will lead me to repentance. And I thank you for working in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. I can't help but feel the presence of the Lord. So if you want to bless Jim and Jean, you can do that. I know they're, you know, would appreciate that. And I just want to, as we close out here, I just want to lift up my hands. And I want to bless you. Father, I just thank you for this group of people. Thank you that we can offer up a sacrifice of praise. Thank you that we're here in the house this morning where your goodness is with us. And I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, he lift up his countenance and give you peace. And I pray, Lord, as we depart in peace, we can be praisers, we can be worshipers, we can be people who are grateful and generous and givers and have you as our first priority in life. I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hey, we love you all very much. If you want prayer, the altars are open. And it's great to see you. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.